May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the Atlantic magazine this past June, Alec Friedman told his story of being shipwrecked in 2023, lost at sea for nearly 2 weeks. This was his first attempt to be a commercial fisherman after taking a Coast Guard course at a community college, and he headed out with a captain named Mick in a wooden boat that was built in 1941. Their fishing went well the first day, but a storm blew up on the second. They put the boat on autopilot and they headed back toward land. And when waves began to crash over the sides of the boat, Alec reached for the radio and sent out a mayday. And Alec urged Captain Mick to come outside, but the captain remained frozen in his seat. And then Alec fell overboard into the ocean. Now, Psalm 29 that we just read talks about the mighty sea, but what Alec experienced was more like the words of Psalm 69, I have come into deep waters and the flood swept over me. Bobbing to the surface, Alec saw the inflatable life raft in its canister floating nearby. He yanked the ripcord, inflated it, and climbed in, and the wooden fishing boat rolled onto its side and then sank quickly. Alec never saw Captain Mick again. The life raft was small but sheltered, wrote Alec. And he continued, like a kiddie pool but sturdier with a camping tent on top. The sides shuddered in the wind and the rain, but I felt relatively safe inside. Certain that rescue was coming, I fell asleep. And when Alec awoke, the storm was still raging. He heard and saw the waters, and to use the words of our closing hymn for today, he saw the sea billows roll. He took inventory of his supplies. He sent up 2 flares, but there was no one to rescue him, and he floated for days under dark and stormy skies. The sea was so great, and his boat was so small. Alec wrote, I prayed often, always aloud at first, please for rescue. He continues, over and over, I asked God to save me, not my soul, but my physical self. After days of praying the same prayer, I tried offering God something in return. So first I apologized for every past transgression I could remember, any injustice or sin I feared that I may have committed. I tried to atone for, so God would listen to my prayer. And Alec recalled the 10 commandments, and he realized that he had failed to keep them. I hadn't honored the Sabbath in years, he admitted. I had lied, I had coveted, I had stolen. Worst of all, I hadn't honored my mother and father. And then he asked God to forgive him for the way that he had treated his parents, ignoring their guidance and insisting that he could figure out everything on his own. And Alec came to the depressing conclusion that he was about to lose his life and that his parents were about to lose their son. Let me interrupt Alec's traumatic experience, life-changing to be sure, to ask you a question. What would you do if you were lost at sea? Pray? Apologize? Atone? Confess? The truth is, we can pray at any time and any place. We don't have to be trapped on life rafts to do inventories of our lives and take steps to get ourselves right with God and with each other. We can pray when the seas are calm and the breeze is light and the sun is shining. But do we? We often wait until we are in a vulnerable spot before we reach out to the Lord. In their reflections on this story, pastors and authors Henry Britton and Brinton and Carl Wilton observe, we use the phrase at sea to describe a variety of situations. The literal meaning is that we are like Alec riding in a ship or a boat, physically floating on the water. But then the symbolic meaning of at sea is that we are confused and we are perplexed. We are feeling lost, disoriented, and bewildered. Perhaps we are facing a complex situation or having difficulty understanding something. A college student might say, my classes this semester made no sense to me. I was at sea all semester. Or a more emotional level, a husband might say, when my wife asked for a divorce, I felt disoriented and lost. For months, I was adrift. At one time or another, we've all been lost at sea, not like Alec in the Pacific, but maybe in our relationships, our jobs, our work, other situations you can think of. We are adrift, lost at sea, feeling small and alone with few options in sight. But the good news is this, that God is with us in the deep waters, listening and looking for us. And after 5 or 6 days of drifting, Alec saw a ship and launched a flare, but the ship kept going. So by the end of the first week, Alec had run out of fresh water, and he accepted the fact that he was going to die. But instead of falling into despair, something amazing happened to Alec. He says, a peace I hadn't known to look for found me. I like that phrase. A peace I hadn't known to look for found me. He hadn't been looking for peace, but peace found him. What a powerful truth this is. When we are lost at sea, overwhelmed by the chaoses of life, God finds us and gives us peace. Psalm 29 affirms, the voice of the Lord is over the water. The glory of God thunders the Lord over mighty waters. Our God has power over the watery chaos of life and can offer us gifts of His peace and powerful presence when we feel we have no other options available to us. In our most desperate situations at work, at school and at home, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God, right? Amen. Alec woke up one day and saw a boat. It was close and coming closer. He lit his last flare and he held it in his hand until it came down and burned his hand. He was jumping around like a madman. He screamed and waved his arms. And then he heard a person over a loudspeaker at the boat say, we see you. We're coming. We see you. Alec was rescued after being lost at sea for 13 days. He had drifted 150 miles. The promise of Scripture is that God has power over the watery chaos of life. And when we are confused or perplexed, God is searching for us. When we are feeling lost, disoriented, or bewildered, God is listening to our prayers. When we are facing complex situations, God is offering us His peace. In the words of biblical scholar Arthur Wiesner, God, quote, appears in the tumult of the elements and manifests His awesome glory. God's glory is visible. Is a visible sign of His power, His holiness, and love. In the greatest tumult of life, we can see God's glory, and we can see God's glory seen in the baptism of Jesus, which is celebrated in many churches today, as I've already mentioned. The beginning of the ministry of Jesus was marked by His passing through waters when John baptized Him in the River Jordan. And for a moment, Jesus was at sea. But then as He came up out of that water, the heavens opened up and God's Spirit came down like a dove and rested upon Him. When I say that Jesus was at sea for a moment, I'm alluding to the idea of baptism representing our death and to our old life and being born into a new life. And yes, there is a sense of repentance and then acceptance into the body of Christ, the church universal. And as Jesus rose up out of the water, a voice from the heavens was heard. This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And I want to address a question that comes up every year when we focus on the baptism of Jesus. If repentance of our sins and returning to God is part of our understanding of baptism, then why was Jesus baptized? He was the sinless one. Well, there's a couple of good reasons. The most basic is that Jesus is an example for us, and his baptism is his example for us to be obedient in responding to the great and wonderful grace of God. Jesus was definitely being an example to his fellow Jews as he stepped forward to be baptized. I've mentioned before the ritual of purification that John the Baptist had borrowed from his Jewish roots in past messages. But while I was preparing for this message, I learned something new. 42 years of ministry, I'm still learning new stuff. Old dogs can learn new tricks. But I learned that those who are born into the Jewish faith didn't receive that purification rite because it was believed that they didn't need it. It was only for proselytes, for new members into the Jewish faith. Didn't catch that in all those years of reading and studying. It was for those who converted to Judaism from another faith or no faith. And it has been said that Jesus desired the baptism of repentance offered by John precisely because Jesus was taking on sin, the sin of the world, even to the cross. Remember what John the Baptist said about Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And let's not forget that Jesus actually did let go of his old life as a carpenter in Nazareth, and he became the rabbi who was also the Son of God. As Jesus emerged from the water, we see God's glory. In Jesus, we glimpse the clearest possible sign of God's power and holiness and love. Jesus is nothing less than the living proof that God is with us. Jesus is like the person on the boat who called out to Alex, "We see you. We're coming. We see you." Our challenge and opportunity as a community of Christ is to know that we are nothing less than the body of Christ, the physical presence of Jesus in the world today. Jesus has no eyes but our eyes, no hands but our hands, no feet but our feet. Our challenge and opportunity are to show his love and power to people who are overwhelmed. When a person is feeling lost at sea, we can say, "We see you." When we see people facing danger, we can call out, say, "We're coming." When people individuals and family are dealing with complex situations, we can say, "Let's work this out together." When people are confused and disoriented and bewildered, we can say, "Let us help you find safety." In the church, we can provide that kind of help because we serve a Lord of power and holiness and love. Psalm 29 tells us the Lord is enthroned over the flood. That means that our Lord has power over anything that can hurt us, body, mind, and spirit. And the last verse of Psalm 29 proclaims, "May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace." And you already know that the Hebrew word is translated from peace is shalom. Shalom is more than peace. It's wholeness, it's health, it's contentment, it's salvation. The word salvation and wholeness are both translations of shalom. And I want to conclude with yet another story from the sea. It's the story of our closing hymn for today. It is "Well With My Soul." You may have heard it. Don't stop me if you have. This hymn represents one of the most heartbreaking stories in the annals of hymnology. The author of this hymn, Horatio Spafford, was a Presbyterian layman from Chicago. He had established a very successful legal practice as a young businessman and lawyer in the Chicago area. He had investments all up and down Lake Michigan. He was a friend with the evangelist Dwight L. Moody, also from Chicago. And he lost his fortune in the great Chicago fire of 1871. Not only that, his only son, in the saga reminiscent of Job, died a short time before he lost everything. But the worst was yet to come. Hymnologist Kenneth Ospex shares the story, quote, desiring a rest for his wife and four daughters, as well as wishing to join and assist Moody in his campaign in Great Britain, evangelistic campaign, Spafford planned a European trip for his family in 1873. And in November of that year, due to unexpected last-minute business developments, he remained in Chicago, but sent his wife and four daughters as scheduled. And he expected to follow in a few days, and on November 22nd, the ship that his wife and daughters were on was struck by Lochearn. It was an English vessel, and it sank in 12 minutes. Several days later, the survivors were finally landed at Cardiff, Wales, and Mrs. Stafford cabled her husband, saved alone. The four daughters had died, drowned in the Atlantic. Spafford left immediately to join his wife, and this hymn is said to have been penned. As he approached the area, the captain told Spafford, this is about the place where the ship went down. And he wrote these words, when peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Can you imagine writing those words after losing four daughters, your business, your son a few months before? After being lost at sea, in June of 2023, back home with his family for Thanksgiving, Alec Friedman said, I wanted to tell everyone how blessed I felt, but whatever words I considered felt too small, and I suspect they felt the same. Alec was right. There are no words to describe the experience of being lost at sea and then being rescued. But we can all put our trust in the God who rules over the waters, the chaos of life, and who gives his people the life-saving gifts of strength and love and peace. And that's the word of God for the people of God today at Central United Methodist Church, in the name of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen.